This podcast was recorded Thursday, September 27th at 11:35 a.m. Things might have changed by the time you hear it.
Yeah, like just once, for once, we will have a completely impartial investigation in Washington, D.C.
I will not hold my breath, Mike. Let's talk politics. This is Snollygoster, WOSU Public Media's weekly look at Ohio politics and all those Snollygosters shrewdly toiling in the swirling waters around the statehouse and the Buckeyes State. I'm Steve Brown.
And I'm Mike Thompson. Coming up on the podcast, Issue 1. That's the drug penalty issue that voters will decide in November. It has become a big issue in the campaigns for governor and now attorney general.
But first, the big story of the week. The nation's eyes and ears turn to a Senate hearing room in Washington, D.C. for the testimonies of Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh and Christine Blasey Ford, the woman who accuses him of sexually assaulting her in 1982 while they were both in high school.
The controversy has divided the nation, and the politics of the story affects more than the president, the U.S. Senate, and the Supreme Court. Ohio politicians are weighing in.
They certainly all Democrats in Ohio appear to be united. They want the Senate to hold off on confirming Kavanaugh until Ford's allegations are fully investigated.
The Republican positions are more nuanced. Both Governor Kasich and the Republican who wants to replace him, current Attorney General Mike DeWine, they say the Senate should investigate the case fully and hold off on confirmation.
U.S. Senator Rob Portman, meanwhile, who introduced Kavanaugh at his initial hearing, said Wednesday that he has not yet reviewed the allegations against him.
That doesn't make any sense to me. He hasn't reviewed the allegations?
They're
everywhere. How can you avoid the allegations?
We'll have to ask Rob Portman next time we get him on the line. Jim Renacci, meanwhile, the Republican who wants to replace Sherrod Brown in Ohio's other U.S. Senate seat, says the Senate should hear the witnesses and then get on with the vote.
Yeah, this is the political story, and it is casting a huge cloud over the midterm elections, which are now,
not far
away. 6 or 8 weeks away
now. Not far away.
This is the year of the woman voter, the suburban woman voter, and they are why women voters are watching these hearings very closely, and it affects every single race, really right down the ballot, all the way to state rep.
I was listening to the radio in my office as I was writing this podcast. Pretty powerful audio. You could hear Christine Blasey Ford's voice shaking. She became emotional as she accounted in great detail her accusations against Brett Kavanaugh. It's pretty powerful stuff. I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I'm not saying that she's telling the truth. I'm not saying she's lying. It was powerful audio we heard this morning.
Yeah, she stuck to her story. She didn't waver from it. She says she is 100% certain that it was Brett Kavanaugh who she says assaulted her back in 1982. Of course, as we record this podcast, we have not heard from Judge Kavanaugh.
That's correct.
Who is scheduled to testify later today, and I'm sure that his testimony will be equally compelling. But she is a very credible witness, and it's hard for folks to not take her seriously. Let's put it that way.
And they did hire a woman specifically to question Blasey Ford. Also, Chuck Grassley, in an intriguing moment, he talked about how he thought the Senate many years ago got the Anita Hill hearings wrong. He thought they did her a disservice, and it was his goal, especially, to not do the same with Blasey Ford this morning. I didn't think the questioning was especially harsh. What I heard this morning,
it's odd though.
It's never comfortable, certainly.
Well, the way they're doing it, the Chairman Grassley they've appointed this woman who's a prosecutor who specializes in prosecuting sex crimes to ask the questions. So she's trying to, as you would in a normal courtroom setting, ask questions in sequential order. The problem is she only has 5 minutes and they got to give a Democrat a chance to ask a question. So it's just, it's odd, it's cumbersome. It's certainly civil, and it's saving Republican members from having to aggressively question somebody they are suspicious of.
If this nomination gets pushed through, that seems to be a bad thing for Republicans. If this gets shoved through, we can talk a little bit about the view from Richwood, as we often talk about. I live in a very rural area, Richwood in Northern Union County. I haven't intensely talked to with my neighbors about this, but this would seem to be horrible PR if Republicans insist on pushing this nomination through.
Even in Richwood?
Not in Richwood. No, I don't think so. Well, I saw a former classmate this morning, for example, on Facebook. He shared a meme that said, as long as women accused men of sexual attacks are believed without evidence or due process, no man is safe. And then it included the hashtags him too, I stand with Brett, and confirm Kavanaugh now. So there is certainly a large group of people, in, especially in rural areas like where I'm from, who are very conservative, who think that this nomination should be pushed through. I'm talking more in terms of statewide offices. You know, if we're talking about the Dave Burke running for state senate in Marysville, I don't think he gets hurt by this. Even then, I think the women who I've spoken to, women who I went to high school with, are more along that push the nomination through. I'm talking about statewide races as far as Jim Renacci, as far as Rob Portman, Mike DeWine, those type of people who have to try to convince some voters in Cuyahoga County and in Franklin County that they're not extreme Republicans who are trying to shut down a sexual assault victim.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. I think, you know, Rob Portman and Jim Renacci, not Jim Renacci, but Rob Portman and Sherrod Brown will vote on this if it does come to a vote. Jim Renacci doesn't have to. He's in the House. Mike DeWine doesn't have to. He's Attorney General. But I think the Republicans are going to have to decide whether or not they support Brett Kavanaugh's confirmation. And if these serious questions and allegations are still out there and they still support the confirmation, then that could have some blowback among Democrats, but perhaps by some independent women. Some polls out this week showed a significant gender gap in both the governor's race and the U.S. Senate race. Cordray leads among women by 9 points. Sherrod Brown leads among women by 29 points. Renacci and DeWine lead among men by 5 or 6 points. So there's a gender gap there. If women are motivated to come out, this will be fresh in their minds. But also, this is a double-edged sword. Republicans want Kavanaugh appointed to the court based on his resume. He is the close to a perfect conservative judge as they can find.
But they can find another one, can't they?
Yeah, but they want this guy.
They want this guy.
And if they feel, even anti-Trump Republicans, if they feel he's been railroaded and not treated fairly and doesn't get on the court, they could be inspired.
Do you think that motivates them for November?
In November.
A show we air here on WOSU FM called The Daily, I think they did a great job with this. They're talking about the divide among conservatives over this Kavanaugh situation. And some are saying maybe both are right, and Blasey Ford just misremembers exactly what happens. Some others are saying, they're saying this was more than 30 years ago. Even if it happened, it shouldn't be the deciding factor in a Supreme Court nomination. And then there's another group who just thinks this is an outright political smear and a lie. And I would say that I think the majority of people from Richwood, the view from Richwood, would be in that middle camp, that even if this happened 30 years ago, it should not be the deciding factor in a Supreme Court nomination. That's what I get from them. You know, should also say that's not Brett Kavanaugh's defense. He's saying this did not happen.
Yeah, he's saying if it happened, it was a case of mistaken identity, and Christine Blasey Ford was pretty certain this morning that it was him.
Yeah, she thinks
it was him.
As far as her perspective on this, she has no doubt whatsoever. Two critics of a fall statewide ballot issue now have proposed an alternative.
Yeah, this is kind of interesting. People here in Central Ohio might remember that Franklin County Prosecutor Ron O'Brien and then Columbus City Council President Zach Klein were opponents. O'Brien beat Klein to hold on to his seat as county prosecutor in 2016. It was a pretty, civil but, tough fight. And Klein is now Columbus City Attorney, and together they've joined together and are touting a plan that would bring all the positive effects of Issue 1 into effect without any of the negatives.
Yeah, Issue 1, of course, is the November ballot issue meant to cut jail time for low-level drug offenses and increase funding for treatment in lieu of jail. But it has drawn the ire of tough-on-crime Republicans. It's also drawn criticism from several judges who worry about eliminating the threat of jail time for people who are in diversion courts like drug court who would reoffend.
O'Brien and Klein say their plan would reclassify most fourth and fifth degree felony possession offenses to misdemeanors. They also say it would continue letting drug courts utilize the threat of jail time to keep enrollees from relapsing. And speaking to WOSU this week, Democrat Klein said he wanted to join many other Democrats in supporting Issue 1, but he can't.
But as it's been reported by WOSU and other media outlets, there are some genuine concerns about the unintended consequences of Issue 1. It is well-intended, in my opinion, and that's where Ron and I, you know, Ron O'Brien being the Franklin County prosecutor who's a Republican, me being the city attorney who's a Democrat, you know, but we're the two biggest prosecutors in as far as population-wise representing in the state of Ohio, are coming together in a bipartisan way because we believe change is needed.
Klein went on to say that he thinks his and O'Brien's plan goes further than Issue 1 by allowing people with previous convictions to seal their records to make it easier for them to find jobs and housing.
This might sound great, but it is meaningless if Issue 1 passes. Issue 1 would amend the state constitution. Zach Klein and Ron O'Brien's proposal would merely be a bill,
yep,
and it would not matter. The Issue 1 would be ingrained in the state constitution.
Yeah, I like the proposal. I like to see, I always like to see, you know, Democrats, Republicans working together on good public policy. The only thing in this plan that has real teeth is this last thing where they were sealing the records. That actually is concrete. The rest of the plan is kind of aspirational. Things like it would look to reclassify drug felonies and advocate for that kind of stuff. There wasn't any hard and fast rules. It didn't, in my reading of this plan, it seemed more aspirational and sort of leave it to the lawmakers at the state house to figure it out. And that leaves a lot of wiggle room.
It's sort of an odd time, I think, for them to come out with this bill. It just seems like an effort to convince voters, an effort to get voters to vote no on Issue 1. Because, again, if Issue 1 passes, what they're trying to do does not matter. They are just – this is basically a campaign ad. I mean, they're giving this to the Senate President, Larry Hoboff, and he's not even sure when it's going to come up to a debate. They're just trying to color voters.
Prosecutors do not want Issue 1 to pass. It really ties their hands. Prosecutors want as much flexibility as they can in implementing the law. That's why even prosecutors who do not support the death penalty don't want us to see it abolished, because it's a bargaining chip in plea bargaining talks.
Yeah, another opponent of Issue 1 is our Republican candidate for Ohio Governor, Mike DeWine. He's had some campaign ads about Issue 1, trying to tie it to Richard Cordray. And this week, PolitiFact analyzed those ads, and this is one of the ads.
Cordray's plan would allow drug dealers to remain on our streets, even when they're caught with enough fentanyl to kill 10,000 people. The same drug that is killing Ohioans every day. Cordray's plan would create a safe haven for drug dealers. Mike DeWine is fighting back, locking up drug dealers, increasing treatment, giving families hope. Mike DeWine for governor.
A lot of talk there about drug dealers, but there are a few problems with that ad. It's certainly, according to PolitiFact, Issue 1 is meant to cut prison time for drug possession. It says nothing about drug trafficking. Under Issue 1, trafficking would remain a felony. Also, Issue 1, not Cordray's plan. He does support it, but nothing more. It's not his plan. PolitiFact deemed the ad false when it comes to drug dealers and misleading on calling it Cordray's plan.
If you take all of the elements of Issue 1 out of context, you know, like it does allow for some felonies to be reduced, some felony sentences to be reduced by 25%.
Yeah.
If the person goes into treatment, has a good prison record, has reformed themselves, yes, that's part of Issue 1. It doesn't mean that, you know, violent predators are going to be walking the streets automatically.
So, and it doesn't mean people convicted of drug trafficking would be able to avoid jail time. It does not. I mean, presumably, it seems within reason that a person carrying a lot of drugs or what you and I might consider a lot of drugs would be able to say they were for personal possession and try to use Issue 1 as a way to avoid jail time when they otherwise would have gone to jail. But it does not specifically say anything about drug dealers.
The one area where the supporters of Issue 1, if they could have a do-over, is the issue of fentanyl, because it takes so little fentanyl to cause a lot of problems. An amount of fentanyl classified as possession versus trafficking is probably, you know, a little bit too fuzzy.
Yeah, and I have no idea if that 10,000 figure that the ad mentions is right. That says that under Cordray's plan, quote unquote, this would allow drug dealers to carry enough fentanyl to kill 10,000 people. I have no idea.
They took the math. So much of a gram would kill so many people, and this so many grams would be allowed under possession. That's where I'm saying that.
Sure.
The limits are a little fuzzy.
Sure. All I'm saying is they might be playing with the numbers, right? Yeah. Like when cops make a drug bust and they say that this was the street value of this marijuana was $5 million, and that's if you sell it. If that's if you sell it by the tenth of a gram to a million different people, then it might be that much money. Either way, like as you said, prosecutors not fond of Issue 1. A former prosecutor and the Democratic candidate for Ohio governor, Steve Dettelbach, also against issue one, which creates some interesting politics. He's breaking from his party, largely.
He's saying he supports the spirit of issue one, but he sees the problems with it, doesn't want it to be a constitutional amendment, ties prosecutors' hands. It's a wise move on his part, running for to be the top law enforcement officer in the state of Ohio. He doesn't want to give his opponent, Dave Yost, any ammunition to say he is, quote, soft on crime, as Mike DeWine is doing to Richard Cordray.
Another person who does not like issue one, our Governor John Kasich. That brings us to our weekly segment, John Kasich, GPS.
Ohio, Governor Kasich, welcome back to Meet the Press.
Thanks, Chuck.
Governor, welcome back to Fox News Sunday.
We went to Tulsa instead of where we were going in Colorado.
I think I've eaten my way across the entire state of New York.
Ground control to make.
It appears other statewide Republican office holders could use our Kasich GPS tracker. Laura Bischoff of the Dayton Daily News polled other statewide office holders, Lieutenant Governor Mary Taylor, Attorney General Mike DeWine, Secretary of State John Husted, Auditor Dave Yost, and Josh Mandel.
They haven't seen a whole lot of John Kasich. Mandel, Yost, and Taylor say they have not talked to John Kasich in more than a year. They've said hello in the hallway, but that's about it. John Husted, it's been about 6 months since he's had a conversation with the governor. John Kasich has been in contact with Mike DeWine. You know, of course, DeWine wants to succeed John Kasich as governor, and Kasich endorsed DeWine for governor. So, you know, it's just he's on national TV saying he wants to bring people together, but
not his cabinet. So they're not cabinet members. They don't necessarily have to work together, but it's very strange that John Kasich, who is de facto the head Republican in Ohio, is not talking to the other top Republicans in Ohio.
I wonder how unusual this is, because like you said, these aren't his cabinet. He's not directing them to implement state policy. They're all independent office holders. How often do any of these office holders get together? Because they're all Republican, you would think that they would be at Republican dinners.
Right. So, yeah, when President Trump was in town a few weeks ago.
But John Kasich has been a no-show at all of those for about 2 years.
Do you think this is because he's a poison pill when it comes to the hardline conservatives? That we've joked about how he's kind of a Democrat at times. He seems like a Democrat.
No, I think it's schedules. I think John Kasich's not going to the Republican dinners, so he's not seeing his fellow top Republicans. They're not chatting. If they don't have business to do with each other, he's just not talking with him.
He's just busy at like talking to Chris Matthews and talking to Chuck Todd. He doesn't have time to talk to Josh Mandel.
Yes.
All right. Well, that will do it for this week's episode of Snollygoster. Be sure to find us on iTunes. Leave us a good review as well. We can always use all the reviews we can get. Be sure to tell your friends about us as well. Until next time, I'm Steve Brown.
We have a new development, Steve.
What is that?
We have an email address.
We do. You're right.
We should encourage you to email us. Give us suggestions, criticism, tips. You can be our John Kasich GPS. The email is snollygoster@wosu.org.
snollygoster@wosu.org. Very great email address. Until next week, I'm Steve Brown.
And I'm Mike Thompson for Snollygoster.